This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله today we're going to be speaking about sujood sahu, or the prostration of forgetfulness. And before we go into the fiqh of the prostration of forgetfulness, when it is done, how it is done, under what circumstances must it be performed, we're going to speak about the virtues of this position, the position of the sajda, and also we'll speak about the different types of sajdas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in many instances, he speaks about the prostration. Of course, there are many places in the Quran, over 10 places, where it's been commanded and instructed to us to prostrate, such as at the end of Surah Alaq and other parts of the Quran, where a person is required to prostrate, sujoodu tilawa basically. And you have other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the righteous of the past performing this specific act of sajda. Allah speaks about Maryam alayha salam. Allah says, وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Allah tells Maryam alayhi salam, perform the sajda and perform the ruku' with those who are observing the salah. So it's something which isn't just for this ummah. The sajda is something which was done by the righteous and the prophets and messengers of the past. And so it's one of those acts of the salah which brings a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, Allah mentions this in the Qur'an. In the Qur'an, in the end of Surah Alaq, Allah says, "Kalla, no, don't obey them, don't obey him," meaning those disbelievers, "wasjud waqtarib," prostrate and come closer. Prostrate and come closer. So the sajda is a means by which a person will become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually explained in a hadith also. In the hadith we mentioned before, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Aqrabu ma yakunul abd, aqrabu ma yakunul abd," the closest the slave is to his Lord, "wa huwa sajid," is while he is performing the sajda. So this ayah, where Allah is speaking about coming closer through the sajda, is also being told to us by the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith, where he says the closest a slave is to his Lord is in the sajda. And so he said, make lots of dua, increase in your dua, make lots of dua and supplication in the sajda. So the sajda, brothers and sisters, is a act of the salah, a position in the salah, which is a position of humility, weakness, in front of the power and the might and strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a means by which you gain closeness to Allah. So through your humility and through your weakness, you are actually gaining closeness to Allah, because you're recognizing Allah's power and your weakness. You're recognizing Allah's greatness and your insignificance. So the sajda, brothers and sisters, is a very important position of the salah. And the sajda has different types. And there are four different types of sajda that a person performs. The first one is the most obvious type of sajda, which is the sajda of salah, sajda to salah. When a person is in salah, he performs sajda. And then you have three other types of sajdas. The one we're going to be speaking about is sajudu sahu, the prostration of forgetfulness. And there are two more. What are the other two? Sujudu tilawa or sajdatu tilawa. Sajdatu tilawa, the prostration of recitation when a specific ayah is an ayah of recitation, a person is required to perform sajda. And then sajdatu shukr, the prostration of thanks. And this has been reported by many of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an once was given glad tidings of a victory of the Muslims in one of the battles. And as a sign of thanks, he prostrated. He performed sajdatu shukr, the prostration of thanks. So it's something which can be done during times of a trial or a tribulation or a calamity being removed in your life, or a moment of happiness and joy for yourself in your life or for the Muslims. And so it's something which is recommended and shown in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And today, inshallah, we're going to be speaking, as we said, about the sajdatu sahu or sujudu sahu, the prostration of forgetfulness. What is the prostration of forgetfulness? Sujudu sahu is two prostrations performed either before or after the taslim to compensate for a deficiency in the salah. To compensate for a deficiency in the salah. So it's two prostrations performed either before or after the taslim. We'll mention when it's done, to compensate for a deficiency in the salah. So as a result of a person's deficiency in the salah, something he forgot to do, something that was added, etc., and we'll mention these obviously, then he compensates for that by performing sujudu sahu. And the scholars, they say, this is one of the ways a person can make up for the deficiencies in the salah. And the scholars will say, for example, just as a person makes up for the inadequacies of his obligatory prayers by performing voluntary prayers, nawafil prayers, to make up for those obligatory prayers which he didn't perform well, they make up for them, okay, for the deficiencies. Likewise, a person when he prays and he makes deficiencies in the salah and he forgets something, for example, he performs sujood sahu to make up for those deficiencies. And there are other ways a person can make up for those deficiencies also. For example, a person making istighfar and doing his adhkar after the salah. So when a person finishes his salah, what does he say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And one of the reasons is to seek Allah's forgiveness from any shortcomings or mistakes he made in the salah, or things he maybe was neglectful of in the salah, or he didn't have proper focus and khushu in the salah, etc. So other things can also be done to make up for those deficiencies, and sujood sahu is one of those ways in which a person can remove some of those deficiencies. So what is when is sujood sahu done? There are three times and three occasions when the sujood sahu can be performed, or three circumstances when it is performed. The first is if you increase in your salah. You increase in your salah. You do something extra in the salah that wasn't part of the salah. Second is when you miss something out in the salah. So you were supposed to do something, but you forgot to do it for whatever reason. And third is if there's doubt in the salah. What do you mean by doubt? It means you're not sure if you added something or if you lost, you know, took something out, or you didn't do something in the salah. And so there's this doubt, you're not sure about, you know, for example, which rak'ah you're on, if you've prayed more or less, and you know, there's complete doubt in your heart, then in those circumstances, you can also perform sujood sahu. And the sujood sahu is performed based on the actions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and at times and moments that are established in the sunnah. So it's not the case that for every single thing that you increase in salah that you have to perform a sujood sahu. And likewise, it's not the case that for every deficiency in the salah, anything you miss in the salah, that you have to make sujood sahu. And the sujood sahu is something which is performed in the obligatory prayers, and it's something which is performed in the nawafil prayers, whether it's your sunnah prayers, witr prayer, any other prayer. It's something which is performed in any prayer that a person prays, on the condition that those prayers have ruku's and sujoods. On the condition that those prayers that you're praying have ruku's and sujoods. So if you're praying a salah, for example, that doesn't have a ruku or a sujood, then there is no sujood sahu required for those prayers. For example, like janaza prayer, like salatul janaza, there is no requirement for a person to perform sujood sahu. Or for example, if a person was doing sujood tilawa, just the sujood tilawa, okay, he wouldn't need to do sujood sahu for the sujood tilawa. Okay, there is not a need for that. So there are specific circumstances, specific occasions when the prostration of forgetfulness is required. So in the first circumstance, the first circumstance where a person will be performing sujood sahu is in the case of him increasing in the salah. So when does he perform sujood sahu? When and if he increases in the salah? The scholars, they divide a person increasing in the salah into two categories. So either he increases in something that he does in the salah, or the person increases in the salah with something that he says. So, by the way, the chapter of sujood sahu, this chapter, the prostration of forgetfulness, the scholars, they'll say it's one of the most difficult chapters. So if you don't get it today, then don't stress, don't worry about it. It might take a few listens, and it might take a few more things to read upon, a few more books to read through about this topic, and maybe a bit more research. Because these rulings are based on something we've already done, which are the pillars of salah and the wajibat of salah. So those of you who were here for the chapter we did on the pillars of the salah and the wajibat of salah, sujood sahu, okay, is dependent on a person knowing the arkan of the salah, the pillars of the salah, and the wajibat of the salah. Because depending on the pillars that he's missed, or the wajibat that he's missed, he would have to perform sujood sahu either before or after, and under different circumstances, he may not even have to perform sujood sahu in specific issues and specific cases. So the first one we're going to mention from any increases that he makes is him increasing in his actions of the salah. So what actions are we talking about that a person increases in by which he would have to perform a sujood sahu? Anything, scholars say, which is from the jins salah, meaning it's from the positions of the salah, the main positions of the salah. For example, a person who's standing in the salah, the standing position, either at the beginning of the salah or when he gets up from ruku, for example, for whatever reason he forgets it, or he forgets to sit between the two sajdas, for example, or a person forgets to perform ruku or sujood. So in any of these cases, if he ends up forgetting any of these specific positions which are part of the salah itself, if he forgets them, then he has to perform sujood sahu. It's an obligation for him to perform sujood sahu. And the evidence is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet said, فَإِذَا زَادَ الرَّجُلُ, if a person increases, أو نقص, or he decreases in his salah, فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْن, then he has to perform two sajdas. Another narration is mentioned whether or not it should be done before or after. So, if a person increases in his actions of the salah, which are part of the salah, okay, but he does more than he, that than is required, then he would have to perform sujood sahu. If a person was praying and he increases in something in the salah, and then he only realized after he stood up for the next rak'ah. So, for example, a person is about to increase in a specific position, let's say the sajda. He does two sajdas, he forgot he did two sajdas, and then he's about to go down for the third sajda. If he doesn't go down into the third sajda, meaning his body isn't in the sajda position, then he can go back to the position where he was, and his salah is still valid, and he doesn't need to worry about doing sujood sahu, because he remembered before he went into the actual position. So if a person is about to go into sajda, and you know, before he places all the parts of the body that he's supposed to do sajda in on the ground, okay, then he doesn't have to worry because he remembered before he went into the actual position completely. If he did go into the position completely, and then he gets up, and after he's finished from that position, he goes into the next rak'ah. The next rak'ah, once he's in the next rak'ah, if he remembers, what does he do? Let's say, for example, he added something, a sajda, for example, and then he goes into the next rak'ah. In the next rak'ah, he remembers that he did three sajdas. What does he do in this situation? The scholars, they say, if he remembers in that extra rak'ah that he's now performing, or in the rak'ah after, that he did three sajdas in the previous rak'ah, then what happens is he goes back into the position that he was supposed to go into. For example, if it was two rak'ahs that he was performing, and he was supposed to sit, let's take this example instead. If he's performing two rak'ahs, and he gets up from the second sajda, and then instead of sitting for the tashahud, he stands up straight away. And he remembers when he stands up, because he needs to do tashahud, he needs to sit back down again. That's in the salah itself. So in the salah, if he remembers after he's completed the rak'ah and is in the next position of the salah, if he remembers in the salah, then he goes back into that position itself. Now, if it's the imam who makes that specific error, then the people who are praying behind the imam need to correct him. So the people praying behind the imam, the men will make tasbih, they'll say subhanallah, or women, for example, they would clap to make the imam recognize that he's made a mistake, he's made an error in the salah itself. Now, if a person makes a mistake in the salah and it's not an action of the salah, meaning he hasn't increased in any of the specific actions of the salah. He hasn't increased in any of the positions of the salah, but he's increased in the sayings of the prayer. He's increased in the sayings of the salah. For example, let's say the recitation in the ruku and the sujood, and the recitation in the last two rak'ahs, for example, he reads extra. Then in this situation, it's not an obligation for him to perform sajda. It's recommended for him to perform sajda, but it's not necessarily an obligation. So a person increases in something, a person says more than is required or more than is necessary, then in those circumstances, in those situations, it wouldn't be an obligation for him to perform sujood sahu. But if he does do it, then he'll be recommended as something which would be considered mustahab or a sunnah, something which is recommended for him to do. Now, if a person in sujood sahu or in the salah itself, let's say he does something in the salah which isn't part of the salah, but he does something else. So it's not a part of the salah itself. Let's say, for example, in the salah he's eating or he's drinking. And let's say either he's aware of himself doing these things and he knows it's something which he shouldn't be doing, so he's doing it intentionally. If he's doing it intentionally, then the salah is invalid. Okay, because if you're eating during the salah, if you're drinking during the salah, and you're fully aware that it's something which invalidates the salah, then you've broken your salah anyway. Likewise, for example, excessive movement. If a person's moving excessively in the salah, we mentioned this before, if it's so much that to the extent that it's very clear that the person isn't actually in salah, meaning he's moving around, and you know his body language, his behavior, the way he looks, doesn't look like as if he's actually praying, then of course, if he's aware of his actions and he knows this invalidates the salah, then he would invalidate his salah. If the person did it and it wasn't intentional, if a person does it and it wasn't intentional, then in this situation, it doesn't invalidate the salah. Let's say he forgot, for example. So for example, a person was praying, he was standing up, he was praying, and for a split second, he forgot he was in the salah. He forgot he was in the salah. And let's say he just turned around. And then, you know, he forgot for a split second, he a bit absent-minded, he was in a different, you know, his mind was elsewhere. And so he turns around, puts his hands down, and all of a sudden he realizes he's in the salah, turns back and carries on. This wouldn't invalidate the salah. The movement would look like as if he was outside of the salah, but if he wasn't intentional, if he did it because he genuinely forgot, then he wouldn't invalidate the salah, and there would be no need for a person to perform sujood sahu in those circumstances, because it was something which wasn't part of the salah itself, and he did it accidentally. It wasn't intentional. And if it was intentional, then of course his salah wouldn't be valid. So that's with regards to increasing in the salah. Now, if there are deficiencies in the salah, then again the scholars distinguish between what was missed in the salah. If he misses something out, they looked at what he missed out. First, if he missed out the pillars of the prayer. And then the scholars go into detail. They say, from the pillars of the prayer, what's the first main pillar of the prayer? Something you say. Takbiratul Ihram, the first takbir in the salah. If a person misses the takbiratul Ihram, they say, lam tan'aqid as-salah. The salah isn't even valid anymore. There's no salah. So you can't do sujood sahu for the first takbir in the salah, because that's something that's required for you to begin the salah. Because the salah is a specific group of actions, a specific group of sayings. Muftatihun bit takbir, beginning with takbir, ending with taslim. So takbir begins the salah. If you don't do takbiratul ihram, the first takbir in the salah, then there's no salah. And as a result of this, there wouldn't be a sujood sahu, because there's no point doing sujood sahu, because there's no salah technically. There's no salah technically speaking. So if a person doesn't perform takbiratul ihram, then there is no salah, and there's no reason for a person to perform sujood sahu. If there are other pillars of the salah, other than takbiratul ihram. For example, a person misses out the ruku', a person misses out the sujood, a person, for example, misses out another pillar from the pillars of the salah. And then the scholars say he remembers whatever he left out qabla an yasil ila mawdi'ihi, before he reaches the position in the rak'ah which is after the rak'ah that he was in. So if he remembers, let's say he missed a sajda, and he remembers, the scholars say, قَبْلَ أَنْ يَصْرِ إِلَىٰ مَوْضِعِهِ فِي رَكْعَةِ الَّتِي تَلِيهَا. If he remembers before he gets to the same position in the next rak'ah. If he remembers before he gets to the same position in the next rak'ah, let's say he misses sajda, and then he starts the second rak'ah, but he remembers that he never did the sajda in the first rak'ah, and he hasn't got there in the second rak'ah, what does he do in this situation? Then he continues praying, and the rak'ah he's in makes up for the rak'ah which he was deficient in, or the rak'ah which he missed the sajda in. So for example, a person's praying, and he's in the first rak'ah, he does one sajda and stands up. Okay, and then he carries on praying, he realizes, I only did one sajda, but he stood up now. And he's now continuing with his prayer. Because he remembered before he's going into sajda now, that rak'ah he's praying, which was his second rak'ah, now becomes his first rak'ah. Because the first rak'ah was deficient. The first rak'ah is deficient. So because he was deficient, he basically has reset the salah in a way, and the second rak'ah now is his first rak'ah. So it's almost like he's restarted the salah, because his first rak'ah didn't really count. Same thing for the second and third rak'ah. If he was in the second rak'ah and then he was in his third, the second would the third rak'ah wouldn't be the third rak'ah anymore, it would be the second rak'ah. So likewise for the other positions, for the other rak'ahs that a person may pray. And the scholars say, وَإِنْ ذَكَرَهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ وَصْرَ إِلَىٰ مَوْضِعِهِ. If he remembers after he gets to that same position in the second rak'ah, so he's completed the whole rak'ah now, and then he remembers, which is not very common, because normally a person just continues with the salah. It's very rare that he's really thinking about the previous rak'ah and trying to remember. Obviously it's possible. So if he remembers after he reaches that position, they say لغت الركعة التي تركه منها وقامت التي تليها مقامها. Likewise, that position, when he remembers, will take the position of the previous rak'ah also. So in either case, the person basically resets, and the next rak'ah that he was praying takes the position of the previous rak'ah itself. Then the scholars, they say, if he didn't realize that he missed a pillar from the pillars of salah in the salah itself, and he gives salam, and then he remembers after the salah has finished. So in the salah he didn't realize, after the salah he was thinking about the prayer, and he remembered he missed a pillar from the pillars of salah after he's given salam. What does he do? He would basically assume and consider that rak'ah that he made the mistake in was a rak'ah which was void. So that rak'ah, basically because he missed a rukn from the arkan of salah, that rak'ah basically wouldn't count anymore because it's deficient. And he can't make it, like, because the salah is finished now, he can't do anything in the salah itself. So what does he do? The scholars, they say, he comes with the extra rak'ah. He comes with the extra rak'ah outside of the salah. So let's say, for example, a person made a deficiency, added something in the salah that wasn't supposed to be in the salah, an extra, for example, sajda, or an extra ruku, for example. He finishes the salah, realized he made a mistake, okay? Or sorry, he's missed something out in the salah from the pillars. He's missed a sajda, missed a ruku, missed the standing position, whatever the case may be, and he remembers after the salah, because that single rak'ah was deficient, he prays that rak'ah by itself. So he prays that rak'ah by itself, the single rak'ah. So if it's a four rak'ah salah, then he prays the one rak'ah that he made the mistake in and he missed a pillar in. likewise for the 3-rak'ah salah, likewise for the 2-rak'ah salah. So he makes up for the deficiency, prays that rak'ah that he made the mistake in, and then he performs sujudu sahu after giving salam. So if a person makes the mistake, he performs sujudu sahu, he prays the rak'ah, and he gives salam, and then after that, he performs the 2 sajdas, and then he gives salam again. And we'll speak about what exactly is said. And it's the same as the regular sajda a person makes. Now, what if a person finishes the salah, and he didn't remember straight after the salah? He didn't remember straight after the salah. And a long time went by, or for example, he broke his wudu, or he got up from his place and he went away. A good amount of time has passed, long time has passed, and then he remembers that he made a deficiency in the prayer. The scholars, they say, because it wasn't immediately after the salah, and lots of time has passed until he remembered that a pillar from the pillars of salah was missed in that prayer. Because a long time has passed, what does he have to do? He has to repeat the whole salah again. He has to repeat the whole salah again. So because lots of time has gone by, he has to repeat the whole salah again. So in this situation, because lots of time has passed by, he has to repeat the whole salah again. Once he repeats the whole salah again, he performs the whole salah, and then he performs the sujudu sahu, and then basically his salah is valid then because he's repeated the whole salah. So that's with regards to the pillars of the salah, missing out a pillar from the pillars of salah. And if you miss out a pillar, then either you're going to perform sujudu sahu, if you remember in the salah that you missed something out, repeat the rak'ah, and then perform sujudu sahu in the salah itself. Or if you do it after the salah, you either repeat the rak'ah if he was straight after the salah, or you repeat the whole salah if a long time passed after he performed the salah itself. Then the scholars speak about a person not missing out a pillar from the pillars of salah, but he misses out a wajib from the wajibat of salah. For example, a person misses the sayings of the ruku' or the sayings of the sujood. So he says, he's supposed to say Subhan Rabbil Azim in ruku' and he forgets. He doesn't say it. The adhkar that he's supposed to say in the ruku', he doesn't say. Or he says something which isn't, he gets mixed up and he says something else in ruku' instead. He says the remembrance of the dhikr for sajda, for example. Or he says something else, he's confused. And he says something else instead, likewise with the sajda. What does he do in this situation? The scholars, they say that if he remembers before he gets to the next position in the salah, he returns back to that position. So let's say, for example, a person is in sajda and he's reciting Fatiha. Okay, because he forgot. He's reciting Fatiha, or he's reciting what he says between two sajdas, for example, just because he forgot. And if he hasn't completely got into the next position, which is a sitting position, and he remembers before that, he can go back. Because he hasn't completely gone from that sitting, from that prostrating position. And in that situation, if he remembers, then he can continue doing the dhikr that he's supposed to do. And afterwards, at the end of the salah, he performs the sajda after the salam. Now, if he remembers after he's gone on to the next rukun, the next pillar of the salah, so say he was in sajda and now he's basically standing up, then he remembers, I didn't say what I was supposed to do, what I was supposed to say in sajda. You know, I was saying something else. In that situation, he likewise makes sujudu sahu, and in this situation, it's an obligation for him to make sujudu sahu in both cases. So basically, in both cases, if he's missed out saying something that he was supposed to say in the sajda or in the ruku, then in those situations, he would make sujudu sahu. But the scholars, they say, if he remembers before he goes to the next position, the first one we mentioned, if he remembers before he goes to the next position and then says the adhkar, he makes the sujudu sahu after the salam. And if he remembers after he's got up, okay, then of course his salah is deficient. He hasn't said it. So the salah is deficient, so he would make sujood sahu before the salam. So the first case after the salam, in the second case before the salam. Then the scholars speak about a person missing out a sunnah from the sunan of salah. A person missing out a sunnah from the sunan of salah. And a sunnah, what is a sunnah of salah? For example, let's say certain statements that a person says, increasing, for example, in the position of the sitting between the two sajdas, where we say Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wa'afini, we make that dhikr. A sunnah is something which if a person misses, is his salah still valid? His salah still valid. Okay, it may be removed from the perfection of the salah, but the salah is still valid. So they say if a person doesn't say something or do something which is a sunnah from the sunnahs of salah, the salah is still valid. But if he was in the habit of doing those sunnahs all the time, then it's recommended for him to do sujood sahu before the salam. So for example, the extra dhikr between the two sajdas, when we're sitting up, Rabbi ghfirli warhamni wa'afini, we continue making those adhkar. Instead of saying Allahumma ghfirli, this is the bare minimum, Rabbi ghfirli or Allahumma ghfirli. But a person regularly all the time says more. He always says more. If he doesn't do that and he only says Allahumma ghfirli, for example, because he forgot or whatever the case may be, then they say it's recommended for him to perform sujood sahu. So it hasn't affected the validity of his salah. His salah is valid. But because he was in the habit of doing those sunnahs, and he didn't do it on that occasion, then it's recommended for him to make up for that deficiency. It's not a deficiency in the sense that his salah is not valid, but for him it's a deficiency in a way because he's used to doing those adhkar and doing those sunnah acts of the salah. So in that case, if it's something that he would do regularly, he should perform sujood sahu istihbaban, meaning as a recommendation. It's better for him to do sujood sahu. If he wasn't in the habit of doing those sunnahs anyway, and he ended up missing those sunnahs, then because he wasn't in the habit of doing them in the first place, he doesn't have to do sujood sahu. So, that's with regards to missing out specific acts of the salah, whether it's pillars, whether it's obligatory acts of the salah, or whether it's the sunnah of salah. Now we move on to the third category. So we've spoken about things that you add in the salah, whether it's actions or statements. We've spoken about things you miss in the salah, whether it's pillars, the wajibat, or the sunnah of salah. The third category, what was the third category? Doubt. If a person is doubtful in the salah, if a person is doubtful in the salah itself. And again, scholars have divided this into two categories. The first category is أَنْ يَغْلِبْ عَلَى ظَنِّهِ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ غَلَبَ عَلَى ظَنِّهِ شَيْءٌ عَمَلَ بِهِ. They say that if a person was doubtful about something and then he became sure that it was one thing or the other. Let's say, for example, a person wasn't sure whether he did two sajdas or one sajda, for example. And he stands up, and then he thinks about it, and he realizes, no, I did two sajdas. I'm okay. Then there's no issue, nothing to worry about. Because he was doubtful, but then he became sure of one thing or the other. So, if he became sure he did two sajdas, no problem. If he was sure he did one sajda, we mentioned it already, because it's a pillar from the pillars of salah, he would go back to that position. Or he would carry on depending on the specific position that he's in. So that's the first category. The second category is he's trying to figure out whether or not he increased in something or decreased in something, but he's not sure what's happened. He's not sure what's going on. Like, he's praying and he doesn't know if he's prayed two or three, if he's increased, if he's decreased. He doesn't know what's happening. Okay, he's completely confused. There's like the shwish, you know, there's like doubt in his mind, etc. He doesn't know what to do. Then Let's say, for example, he doesn't know which rak'ah he's in. Let's say he doesn't know which rak'ah he's in, and he's completely unsure. He doesn't know if he's prayed two or three, for example. What does he do in this situation? The scholars, they say, yubna ala al-aqal, that he looks at what he's certain of with regards to the lowest number. With regards to the lowest number. So, first category is, he realizes, okay, this is the mistake I made. I actually did one or two. He knows. He's sure now that he's done one or two. Or he's done whatever mistake he made, he's aware of the mistake he made. In this like category, or in this the second perspective, or the second scenario, is he isn't sure about the mistake he made. He doesn't come to a conclusion about the mistake he made. So what does he do? يُبْنَى عَلَى الْأَقَلِ. He builds on the number which he is sure of. So he's not sure whether he's prayed two or three rakahs. يُبْنَى عَلَى الْأَقَلِ. Okay, he builds on what he's sure of. He's sure that he's prayed at least two. يُبْنَى عَلَى الْأَقَلِ. He builds, he makes his decision, his certainty is on the lowest number. So then he considers that he's just prayed two. So the rak'ah he's in at the moment will be his third rak'ah. The rak'ah he's in at the moment will be his third rak'ah. So once a person does this, then he continues the salah. And because there was doubt there, he would perform sujood al-sahu before the salam. And there's a narration in Muslim where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ, if you are doubtful of your salah, about your salah, and you're not sure whether you prayed three or four, then remove the doubt and يُبْنَى عَلَى مَسْتَيْقًا. Build on what you are sure of, what you are certain of. And then perform two sajdas before you give salam. Perform two sajdas before you give the salam. So those are basically the scenarios of a person performing sujood al-sahu. And like we said before, in most cases, sujood al-sahu would be obligatory if you're unsure about whether you've added something, if you've missed something out in the salah, if you've added something in the salah from the pillars of salah, from the obligations of salah, okay, from the statements of salah. We said the statements of salah, also we mentioned them. So in those circumstances, it's recommended for a person to perform sujood al-sahu. Now, when is the sujood al-sahu performed? Before the salam, after the salam, and what does a person say in the sujood al-sahu? What is the manner in which a person performs sujood al-sahu, etc.? So, before the salam, there are narrations of the Prophet ﷺ where he would perform sujood al-sahu before the salam, and narrations where he would perform sujood al-sahu after the salam. And the scholars, they say, sujood al-sahu is performed before the salam if you've missed something out. If you forgot something, or missed something out, or your salah was deficient of something, then you give sujood al-sahu before the salam. So you're praying your regular salah, you're praying in your intashahud, and you perform the two sajdas, and you say what you normally say in your sajda. So before you're giving salam, your intashahud, at-tahiyyatullahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, and before you're giving salam, you're making adhkar, you're doing your dhikr, and you're making your du'as before you give salam. Before you give salam, you make takbir, Allahu Akbar, go into sajda, say Subhana Rabbil A'la, minimum once, stand up, sit up, okay, and then say Allahumma aghfirli warhamni, etc. Then you go back into sajda, same dhikr again, Subhana Rabbil A'la, sit up, and then you give salam. No tashahud after the two sajdas of forgetfulness. So after the two sajdas of forgetfulness, you give the salam. And that's basically the end of the salah. And you've given the sujood al-sahu, you've done the sujood al-sahu before the actual salam. So in cases of deficiency, a person performs sujood al-sahu before the salam. And in cases of doubt, if you're doubtful, Some things happen in the salah, you're not sure if you've increased in something, decreased in something, you don't remember if you prayed, you know, less or more, but something just felt off about the salah, you know, you were like preoccupied with other things, you weren't as focused, something happened, you became distracted. So in that situation also, you give salam before, you give the sujood sahw before the salam. So in cases of deficiency or doubt, you give salah, you perform sujood sahw before the salam. Which means, when do you perform sujood sahw after the salam? If you have increased in something in the salah. For example, a person prays 5 rakahs instead of 4. For example, a person prayed 3 sajdas instead of 2 in 1 rakah. So in those circumstances, where you increased as opposed to decreased, then you perform the sujood sahw after the salam. How do you perform the sujood sahw after the salam? You're praying regularly, you're in tashahud, and after you perform tashahud, you give the salam for the salah. Then the imam will make takbir, and you'll go into sajda. Then same thing, adhkar of sujood, you get back up, make the adhkar for the sitting between the two sajdas, go back into sajda, make the dhikr again, sit back up again, no extra tashahud required, your tashahud already done, and you just give salam. So straight after the two sajdas, you give salam. In both cases, if it's before the salam, after the salam, straight after the two sajdas, you give salam. And you give salam on both sides, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah. So that's the manner, or that's the when a person performs sujood sahw, whether it's before the salam or after the salam. And if a person joins the imam, if a person joins the imam, and let's say, for example, the person praying behind the imam forgets something. Yeah, like for example, the imam is in tashahud, and the imam makes takbir to stand up, and a person forgets, and mashallah, he does sajda again. And everyone else stands up, and he realizes, oh, I shouldn't have done sajda. So he stands up with everybody else. Okay, he's performed something extra in the salah. However, if he's joined with the imam, and he's praying the whole salah with the imam, okay, then the imam takes on the responsibility of leading the salah. So the imam is there for you to follow. No need for you to perform sujood sahw at the end. Because if you were to perform sujood sahw at the end, you're not following the imam anymore. Isn't it? Because if the imam gives salam, you're going to do sujood sahw, which means you're not following the imam. And the imam is there for you to follow. إِنَّمَا جُعِلِ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَ بِهِ. So if you follow the imam from the beginning till the end, and you haven't missed anything with the imam, you've prayed all the rakahs with the imam, and you made a mistake in the salah because you forgot something, as long as the imam didn't forget something, you're fine. You just continue with the imam. You don't need to perform sujood sahw. If the imam makes a mistake, okay, then everyone else has to follow the imam. Everyone else has to follow the imam. So the imam makes a mistake, somebody makes tasbih, says subhanallah, or he remembers himself, okay, he continues the salah in whichever state that he's required to complete the salah. Then at the end, before the salam or after the salam, if he performs sujood sahw, all the people praying behind him have to follow. All the people praying behind him have to follow. Now, if the person praying behind the imam comes late, and then he makes a mistake, for example, the imam sits up for tashahud after sajda, and the man doesn't realize, and he stands up fully for the next rakah, but there is no next rakah, the imam sitting down, but he stood up by accident. Then he sits down. Because he joined late, he didn't join with the imam, so he hasn't completed the whole salah with the imam. When the imam gives salam, what's he going to do? He's going to carry on with his salah, isn't he? Because he didn't join with the imam in the beginning of the salah. So he has 1 rakah left or 2 rakahs left. So before he finishes his salah, he's going to perform sujood sahw. He's going to perform sujood sahw. Now, what if a person performs a mistake or makes a mistake in the salah, And then he makes another mistake in the salah. Then he makes another mistake in the salah. So he makes three mistakes in the salah. How many sajdas does he perform? How many times does he do sujood as-sahw? Always? Once. He always does it once. Let's say he makes two mistakes in the salah. He still performs sujood as-sahw just once, meaning two sajdas. Yeah, two sets, one set of sajda. Okay, so he performs sajda, sujood as-sahw. Once, he doesn't need to do four sajdas or six sajdas to do. If he makes two mistakes, he doesn't need to do four sajdas. If he makes three mistakes, he doesn't need to do six sajdas. So that's with regards to when a person performs sujood as-sahw, if he's praying with the imam, or if he joined with the imam or came later after the imam started and he has to make up for the imam, etc. Finally, because I know you've understood everything in this lecture, mashallah, it's all very clear to you and you've memorized everything, and now you know exactly every single point and position where you're supposed to perform sujood as-sahw. That's a joke, by the way. So you're going to have to go over this. Okay, you're going to have to go over this yourselves. There's a very good book by Sheikh Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, called The Prostration of Forgetfulness. So it's a booklet. It's available. It's online as well. So I would advise for you to have that booklet. Go over it, read it, inshallah, just to help with your understanding of the sujood as-sahw. But the scholars, first of all, we'll say that if you miss or add something which is an integral part of the salah, then you should perform sujood as-sahw. So in a nutshell, if we were to speak about sujood as-sahw, if you don't understand what we were just talking about fully, if you miss or you add an integral part of the salah to your salah, then you should perform sujood as-sahw. And if you do a mistake in the salah and there's a deficiency in the salah and you're not sure whether to perform sujood as-sahw before or after, as long, inshallah, as you perform sujood as-sahw, it will be accepted, inshallah. So whether it's before or after, because both of them have been mentioned in the sunnah, depending on the circumstances. And by the way, scholars go into lots of detail. And there's lots of differences with regards to when it should be done, in what circumstances, should it be done after, before, etc., as is the case with lots of issues with regards to fiqh. So as long as you do your sujood as-sahw, okay, then inshallah, it will count. And what it does is it humiliates the shaitan, because you've covered your bases now. So any deficiencies that you did do in the salah, because you've covered your bases and you performed sujood as-sahw at the end, before you gave salam, for example, then you've covered your bases, inshallah, you'll get the reward, and there won't be any deficiencies. So you're making up for those mistakes that you've made. Is it permissible for a person to do sujood as-sahw for every salah he prays, just in case he might have messed up and made a mistake, just to be on the safe side? No, it's not permissible. Because the problem is then, if he does sujood as-sahw for every single salah, he's not really going to be paying attention to the salah anymore. He'll just be thinking, I'll just do sujood as-sahw at the end and I'll be fine. So he'll be moving around, maybe, you know, doing extra rakahs here and extra sajdas here and two rukus every single rakah, and, you know, reading things you shouldn't be reading, etc. And then he'll just say, I'll perform sujood as-sahw, then I'll be fine. So he'll become reckless, he'll become careless in the salah. So that's also something which is not recommended. So, like I said, Sheikh Uthaymeen's book, Prostration of Forgetfulness, go over it. The bare minimum a person should understand, if he misses an integral part of the salah, something that he's supposed to do, something he's supposed to say, with the exception of Takbiratul Ihram, which if he forgets, there's no salah anyway, then he should do sujood as-sahw. And if he does it before or after, inshallah, if he does it before or after, if he forgets and doesn't know, and he does it before or after, then inshallah, the sujood as-sahw will be accepted. And inshallah, we ask Allah that he gives us understanding of the religion and that he accepts all of our salawat. Yes, brother. So sujood al-shukr is a specific type of sajda. It's when there are moments of thanks and happiness. Maybe you're relieved from some kind of calamity. How is it performed? It's one sajda. It's one sajda. And you perform sajda and you make the same dhikr that you normally make in the salah. And because it's just a sajda, it's not necessarily a salah. There is no condition of a person being in a state of wudu. But, of course, it's better to. And likewise, the condition of him facing the qibla is not necessarily a condition for the sajda either. But like we said, if a person is able to do that, then that's also better, inshallah. Okay, so some questions here. Should we make sujood al-sahu only for deficiencies in fara'id salah? No, as we said, sujood al-sahu should be done for deficiencies in your obligatory prayers and your nawafil prayers, providing they have rukus and sajdas. What do you recite when you're in sajdat al-tilawa and sujood al-sahu? So the same dhikr that you make in your regular sajda. What if somebody is chewing gum and realizes after the start of the salah, he should break the salah and remove the chewing gum and start the salah again, inshallah. How does one do sajdat al-shukr? So sajdat al-shukr, a person goes down into sajda, just like he normally does, makes the dhikr and stands up. There is no salam required. There is no taslim required, because it's not a salah. It's just a position of the salah. Same thing for sujood al-tilawa as well. The prostration of thanks and the prostration of recitation, the same thing. A salam isn't required because it's not the salah itself. How about mistakes made in Fatiha? So it depends on the mistake that's made. If you never recited the whole surah and you missed out an ayah, then in that situation, you would have to repeat the salah, because it was after the fact, and that's an integral part of the salah itself. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no salah for the one who doesn't recite Fatihatul Kitab. So because of that hadith, you would have to pray to repeat the salah again. If he's in doubt, or for example, if he maybe thought he made a mistake, or he's unsure whether or not he made the mistake, then like we said before, you build on what you're sure of, so inshallah your salah should be fine. If you repeat the deficient rak'ah, must you perform? Yes. So if a person has to repeat his deficient rak'ah, or let's say there's a narration of the Prophet ﷺ praying two rak'ahs, and he performs two rak'ahs, and he forgot that he was praying dhuhr, and he gave salam. When the companions asked, you know, has the salah been changed? He said no. Then he realized he made a mistake, because it shows us everyone can make mistakes. Even the Prophet ﷺ would make mistakes, and he would perform, you know, two rak'ahs instead of four. So he would pray the two rak'ahs, then he would perform sujood al-sahu as well. So if you're making up for a rak'ah which you missed, for example, then after the rak'ah, before you give salam, perform sujood al-sahu as well. In terms of deficiency, if he remembers in later positions, if he missed a sajda but remembers during ruku of the second rak'ah, yeah, so if you remember in the second rak'ah that you missed a sajda in the first rak'ah, that second rak'ah becomes your first. What to do if you prayed one rak'ah and you thought you did two, and you did tashahud after the first rak'ah? What do you do when you are back in the standing position? So if a person is praying and he prayed one rak'ah and he thought he prayed two, then what would happen is he's prayed one rak'ah, he's done tashahud because he thought it's the second. Then he stands up and he remembers that was the first. Now what's going to happen is he's done an extra tashahud, hasn't he? Because he's going to do three tashahuds now. So in this case, because he's done something extra, he does sujood al-sahu before or after the salam? After the salam. Du'as after the tashahud, do you have to decide what you'll read before starting the salah? No, you can make any du'as you want in the salah, anything which comes to mind, inshallah, before you give salam. When doing sujood al-sahu after taslim, must we stand and make takbir? No, you don't stand. If you make sujood al-sahu after salam, you give salam, then you go into sajda, make takbir, go into sajda, get back up, do your dhikr of the sajda of the sitting position, go back into the sajda for the second time, sit back up and make salam. Do you do takbir for sajda al-shukr? Yes, you do. No, not for sajda al-shukr. For sajda al-shukr, prostration of thanks, there's no takbir involved. What if there are mistakes in tajweed? Again, if there's mistakes in tajweed in Surah Fatiha, then inshallah, you don't have to perform sujood sahu. If I join the salah late and forget and do taslim with the imam, do I just get up straight away and do the rak'ah I missed? So if you join late and you did taslim with the imam, yes, because you forgot, you'll stand up straight away. So for example, you were praying with the imam, but you were supposed to stand up, but instead when the imam gave salam, you gave salam. Then you realized I wasn't supposed to give salam. Because you've simply forgot, you stand up. You stand up and you carry on the salah. And because you forgot, it's not something which you're accountable for, inshallah. What if you say Subhan Rabbil A'la more than three times in sujood? We've already mentioned you can say Subhan Rabbil A'la more than three times, but the minimum is once. Any other questions? That would be recommended. No. Because that kind of movement isn't that excessive. But it would be recommended. So if your phone's playing, going off, his phone's ringing during salah, it's recommended to turn it off. But you don't have to do sujood sahw for that. But it's recommended to turn off because keep it going, then it's going to disturb everybody. جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته